Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. As you can see, things are a little different around here today. It's because we have the Lutheran Campus Ministry folks with us. Our very own Katie Wagner is here. She has a special guest on the drums that some of you might recognize when he gets up there. And they're basically running the service today. I'm not even preaching. So, Bill, relax. It's okay. Poor Bill. You're going to miss me so much. All right, so the order of service is fairly straightforward. Everything is going to be on the screen, except for the order for communion, which is not going to be on the screen because I want to be able to see later today, and so we can't use that and have me stand up there and talk at the same time or I get blinded. I do want to make one serious announcement. Arlene Lund died yesterday, so our sympathies to her family. And I want to let you know that the visitation will be at Olson's Tuesday evening from 5 until 7. And the funeral will be here at Christ Lutheran Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by lunch. All right? So we've moved her name in the prayers, and I didn't want anybody to wonder when I got there. It's better to know ahead of time. Okay? Let's begin then with the order of confession and forgiveness. I invite you to stand as your... I lied. Please stay seated.
All right. So while Allison is getting this all set up... Every spring we share a video with you all of some of the things we've done so far this year, and some students sharing why what we do matters and why we love to share our ministry with you. So please enjoy.
Being a year later, I realize that I have become one of those people who just greets everyone with a smile and knows them by name. And it's just a great, great community to be in. Faith-based community to be a part of. I helped other people grow in their faith. They helped me grow in my faith. And most of my favorite memories are with LCM. And if I could change anything from college, I would never change anything from this.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Katie O'Connell, and Katie Wagner asked me to just share a little bit about LCM and kind of why I love it so much. So I am a sophomore/junior kind of at Scout right now, and I'm majoring in professional communications and emerging media. I'm on the student exec board this year and for LCM, and I am the communications coordinator, so that's been a lot of fun. But I love LCM for a lot of reasons. I could go on about it for ages, but I'm going to try to keep this fairly short. Probably like one of the biggest reasons why I really love LCM is because we get to come to a place each week, like all of these students get to come to a place each week for something so much bigger than us. This is something that, you know, we come to and we get to like hear so many jokes from like Simon and Taryn who are sitting in the back there. We get to see the excitement from Carly and Sydney and Brandy who's also in the back, and Kevin and Travis up here are just full of knowledge. Then you have people like Allison and, you know, Spencer and Chantel and Liz who just have the biggest hearts. You know, we get to come to a place where we are accepted, where we are able to have fun and joke around and laugh. But we also get to come to a place where we get to grow in our faith. You know, LCM is a place where we can talk about things that don't get talked about in, you know, in church services. LCM is a place where we can share our faith ideas and how we were raised in our own churches. So a couple weeks ago, I went on spring break, on the spring break trip, and LCM partnered with Habitat for Humanity, and we went to Phoenix City, Alabama. We left really, really early. We left at like 5:30 a.m., and there were 30 of us kids. We piled into 5 minivans and just started our way down. We stopped in Tennessee on the way down in Nashville and stayed overnight there, so that was really nice. But we actually did quite a bit. When we got to our site, we met this guy named Larry, and Larry was a character, but he was the one who was like, okay, I need this many people to go to this site and start cleaning up some brush and stuff like that. I need this many people to go to this site and finish up some trim and some painting, and I need everybody else to stay at this site. So I was one of the people that got to go to the site that needed some trim to be put up as well as some painting that was finished. And so together, myself, Carly, and another girl, Annalise, we were in this tiny little utility closet sanding the walls and painting it and everything. And that part was really, really fun. It was kind of crazy. And then Chantel over here and some other people, they worked on doing the trim. So, you know, the three of us girls in the closet were like, okay, this is cool. Like, we're just going to kind of hang out here, and we're just going to do our own thing, and we're going to paint, and we're going to stand, and it's going to be great. Well, it's very squeaky. I'm very sorry. Okay. So, but the guys that were there were like, hey, do you guys want to learn how to use power tools? And Carly was like, that's okay. I'm going to turn this off. She's like, that's okay. And I was like, go for it, Carly. Overcome your fears. So she did. She used a power tool, and she overcame her fears, which is awesome. And then, so we got to, like, help with the trim. That was pretty cool. But then while we were doing that, there were loads of other people at another site, and they were, they basically started with a blank slate. They started from nothing. They got to watch the foundation being poured, and while that was happening, they were able to start nailing together a bunch of walls, so that on Wednesday, when the rest of us joined them, the walls were ready to be put up, and we could start, you know, nailing them into the foundation. And that was really cool. That was a cool experience. I don't have a lot of experience with a hammer, so as soon as they were like, hey, grab a hammer and some nails, I was like, okay,
don't know if you want me to, but okay. So I did it, and I got a lot better with a hammer, which was pretty cool. So Thursday was a day of putting up walls. Thursday was a day of putting the trusses up for the roof. So that was quite an adventure. Okay. I'm moving again.
So putting trusses up on the roof was quite an adventure. And it was really cool. And then Friday was the day where we got to start putting the OSB boards up. And we got to put them on the roof and then on the sides of the walls as well. I was one of the people putting them up on the roof, nailing them in. And at first I was like, this is so much fun. I get to like stand up here and like, you know, hammer in these boards. This is great. And then all of a sudden Larry was like, okay, now get on the other side of this board and start hammering more in. And I was like, I have to move. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. But I did it. And it was awesome. And it was such a great experience. So as soon as Larry said, you guys did an outstanding job, I knew that we did something that was so much greater than we could ever be, all 30 of us. I just want to say, like, thank you to Habitat for allowing us crazy kids to, you know, come join them and for being so inviting. Thank you to Katie Wagner for being supportive of us 1,000% of the way, even though she was all the way here in Menominee. And thank you to all of you for your continuous prayers and support for us. We've had such a great time, and LCM has become a home for so many of us. So we just really want to extend our thanks for that. So thank you.
All right. Hang on.
So it turns out we can't use my mic and that mic can't both be on at the same time. Not even like can't talk into them at the same time, can't be on at the same time. So that seems like a perfect time for confession and absolution. So why don't we please stand as you're able. We'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of heaven and earth, you come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
With honesty of heart, let us confess our sins. Merciful God, forgive us. Our will is handcuffed to sin, and we cannot break free. We have spoken when we should have been quiet. We were silent when we should have said something. We acted when we knew better. We were still when we know we should have moved. For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. People of God, look to the Son given to heal you and set you free because God loved the world so much. Take hold of life, eternal life. Amen.
You can stay standing and join us in our opening song.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
The first reading today comes from 2 Peter verses 1 through 16. Peter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not cleverly devise myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received the honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves have heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message from more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came from by human will, but men and women moved by Holy Spirit and spoke from God. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. Thank you so much for welcoming us into worship with you this morning. It's always such a pleasure to be here and celebrate our partnership in Christ with you all. All right, key story of today, Transfiguration. One story a few of us have probably heard a few times in our life. One of the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels. A miracle set apart from others because it happens to Jesus himself. In the reading you just heard, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain. Jesus is then transfigured before their eyes, shining brightly, or as in Mark's account, such as no one on earth could bleach them. Elijah and Moses appear and begin to talk with Jesus. Peter begins to ask about preparing a place for the prophets to stay, but before he has finished, a cloud appears, and God's voice can be heard saying, "This is my son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The disciples fall to the ground overcome with fear, and Jesus comforts them, telling them to get up. Then, here's the kicker, Jesus tells them to tell no one about what they've seen until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. That's a lot happening in 9 verses. So much that we may miss one of the true messages of the passage we heard. We may get hung up on the miracle of Jesus being depicted in dazzling white clothing and shining brightly. Although this is indeed a miracle, the true miracle we miss is the miracle and spiritual change that is happening to the disciples and to us. This vital part of the gospel helps us to identify who we are in Christ and the mission we are given as disciples. The transfiguration not only supports the identity of Jesus as the Son of God, but when God makes the statement, "Listen to him," it identifies Jesus as the messenger and mouthpiece of God. Jesus experiencing a spiritual change also echoes his teaching, in which he explains that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. This passage also functions as a plot summary in anticipating the events that we know so well, the events in which Jesus dies and is resurrected, the ultimate miracle in which we are saved and promised a glorious eternal life. So, as I was doing some reading in preparation for this Sunday, I came across a phrase that is entirely relatable to the struggle we encounter when faced head-on with the question, how can we be the disciples that Jesus asked us to be? This passage of the Transfiguration provides divine sanction for Jesus' teaching on his disciples, in which the pressure is on his followers to be faithful in challenging circumstances. I don't know about you all, but I know that is a question I certainly can relate to and struggle with. One of the true miracles of this story is for his disciples, not just his disciples that were present when the transfiguration was happening, but for all of us. Jesus conveys to his closest disciples that he was indeed carrying out God's justice, and he asked them to hear him, to pay attention to what Jesus was teaching them about justice, kindness, compassion, and paying attention means putting that into practice when they leave the mountain. One thing I think of immediately is the challenge that many of us face when tasked with being a disciple. We find ourselves in situations and groups, like in congregational meetings, task groups, leadership retreats, where it's easy to find like-minded people who are just as passionate about helping the poor, serving others, and changing the world. We get jazzed up at the thought of what we can do with our hands about being the hands of Jesus. Then, once we leave the meeting, we leave the retreat, life comes back into focus and reality. We get bogged down with meetings, running kids to activities, homework or study groups, and we put discipleship on the back burner. Life is busy, but I think that we can take from this story is a reminder of the mission Jesus tasked us with. All right, we're going to try something different this morning. We're going to have a bit of an interactive sermon. I know, everyone's shaking in their boots. In which we envision what it's like to be the hands of Jesus. You can stay where you are, but please follow my instructions. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, but make sure that you don't doze off. I know it's a Sunday morning. You can keep your eyes open if you're afraid that might happen to you. Go ahead and close your eyes. Sit up straight, feet flat on the ground, eyes closed, hands resting on your lap, palms up. Tune into your breathing, relax tension points, become aware of the air at your fingertips, between your fingers, on the palm of your hand. Experience the fullness and strength of your hands. Think of your hands. Think of the most unforgettable hands you have known. The hands of your father, your mother, your grandparents. Think of all your hands have done since then. Think of all the learning your hands have done and how many activities they have mastered or are just learning, the things they have made. Remember the day you could write your own name. Our hands were not just for ourselves, but for others. How often were they given to help another? Remember all the kind works they have done. Remember the tears they have wiped away, our own or another's, the blood they have bled, the healing they have experienced. How often have they been folded in prayer, both a sign of power and their powerlessness? Now raise your right hand slowly and gently place it over your heart. Press more firmly until your hand picks up the beat of your heart. Press more firmly for a moment, and then release your hand and hold it just a fraction from your clothing. Experience the warmth between your hand and your heart. Now lower your hand to your lap very carefully, as if it were carrying your heart, for it does. When you extend your hand to another, it is not just bone and skin. It is your heart. Think now of all the hands that have left their imprint on you. The hand has its own memory. Think of all the places that carry your handprint. They are and will last forever. Now, without opening your eyes, extend your hands on either side and find another hand if you're comfortable doing that. If you would prefer, fold your hands in prayer. Do not simply hold it, but convey a message of friendship, concern, community. Let your hand speak to it, and let it listen to the other. Express your gratitude for this hand stretched out to you in the dark, and then bring your hand back to your lap. Experience the presence of that hand lingering upon your hand. The afterglow will fade, but the print is there forever. You can open your eyes. Wake up your neighbor if they're asleep. Whose hand was that? It could be any hand. It could have been Jesus' hand. It was, for he has no other hand but ours. Being the hands of Jesus is what Jesus asks of all of us and what he was asking of his disciples on that mountaintop during the Transfiguration. Peter is the part of this divine story we all can relate to. Peter struggles to listen, to follow, to be faithful. He more than struggles, he fails. Jesus reaches out every time, raises him up, and sends him out. This story is not only about Jesus' transfiguration, but of ours. We fail, we make mistakes, yet every time Jesus reaches out to us, picks us up, and sends us out. We are called to listen to Jesus. We have moments of insight, of revelation. We have moments of denial. We too fall down in fear and are raised up to go forth in confidence. We are called to listen and called to discern God's way in the world, called to partner with God and in this way be transformed. We are called to be the hands of Jesus. Picture yourself in this story. This story is your story. If we truly want to take on the task of being a disciple of Christ, of spreading love in the world, we have to try to hear God's voice for ourselves. Sometimes as a culture or even as the church, we tend to suppress the inclination that God has spoken to us, even if it's through the voice of another. Our experiences may not be as dramatic as Peter's was on the mountain, but it can be helpful to remember that God often calls us through the ordinary moments and people of our lives. God still speaks to us, and we are called to listen. Even though we fall in fear or failure, Jesus is there to reach out and pick us up again. One verse that so many of us know and love is so fitting for this journey we're on together. From Micah chapter 6, he has told you what is good, And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This verse helps us to simplify the great and sometimes demanding mission we are given. Jesus takes these commandments we're given and makes them about what goes on in our hearts, not just about our outward actions. As I mentioned before, Jesus conveys to his closest disciples that he was indeed carrying out God's justice, and he asked them to hear him, to pay attention to what Jesus was teaching them about justice, kindness, compassion, and paying attention means putting that into practice when they leave the mountain. That last part can be the hardest. It can get complicated. When we strive to put this mission into practice, we have to change the way we actually live. But many of us resist change. Change can be hard. I can't tell you how many times I find myself stuck doing what's comfortable. It's just easier. But Jesus never asked his disciples to do what's easier. He asked them to do what's just. It's only when we let the challenging and sometimes incredibly difficult demands of Jesus really sink in that we can begin to change. It's only when we really hear his call to see that justice is done that we can experience a new life he offers us all. But that means in order to really hear him, we have to start with ourselves first. That's where the real justice begins. With the change in our own hearts, that translates into a different way of living. That's when we begin following Jesus' call to see that God's justice is done and embrace who we are called to be as disciples. Listening for the call is not easy, but taking time to be quiet and listen for what God is saying to you is a great place to start. Taking time to quiet the outside noises of our jobs, the busyness, the never-ending to-do list, can open up our eyes, ears, and hearts for what God is really saying to us. I know from personal experience that if I hadn't opened up my heart to what God was calling me to do, I wouldn't be standing up here with you today. We are privileged to be given this task. I ask you to think about what you can do once you come down from the mountaintop, once you go back into your schools, your home, and your community. How can you be the hands of Jesus? How can you open up your heart to God's call? Think back to the exercise we did a few minutes ago and remember the community here we are a part of. These are your fellow disciples. These are the hands of Jesus. Amen. You can all stay seated as the band comes back up here for our song, Mighty to Save.
Hero and conquered the grave.
Please stand as you are able as we confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Lifting our voices and turning toward God, let us pray for the church, the earth, and all who are in need. God, our sure strength, set the mind of your church on the spirit of love and kinship. Bring healing where there is division and hope where there is worry. Use our hands as your hands. Hear us, O God. You bring life where there is despair and death. Bring new hope and new growth into barren lands. Bring water to a parched earth. Hear us, O God. Listen to the voices of the weak and oppressed. Guard people in all lands from danger and injustice. Hear us, O God. Martha and Mary pleaded for healing. Hear the cries of your people who call out in need or pain. Grant healing and comfort to those who are ill. Especially we pray for Gary, Clarence, Jerome, Kathy, Lexan, Maxine, Kevin, Ray, Richard, Lavone, Joe, Helen, Margot, Sam, and all our members and friends who reside in care facilities or who are confined in their homes. And we pray for strength and compassion for their caregivers. Hear us, O God. Bring life to dry bones in this community. Breathe your life-giving spirit into the corners of our ministry that need renewal. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for the faithful departed, especially Arlene Lund, and for the assurance that we will join with them in the heavenly banquet. Comfort all who mourn. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast love through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we continue our worship with our offerings. Katie, did you want to say anything?
There are several envelopes in the bulletin. If you feel so inclined to make a donation to support what we do at the church.
I guess she did want to say something.
as you're able. Provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with the words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. We pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Please be seated. Communion this morning will be by means of intinction. As you come forward, you will be given a wafer. We ask that you would then carefully dip it either into the wine, which is red, or the grape juice, which is, well, yellow. Also, gluten-free wafers are available. Just let the server know if that is something that you need to receive. The ushers will guide you forward. Return to God with all your heart. Receive bread for the journey and drink for the desert. Come, for all is now ready.
Yeah! Please stand as you're able.
Now the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen you and preserve you in his grace unto eternal life. Amen. May God, who has called us forth from the dust of the earth and claimed us as children of the light, strengthen you on your journey into life renewed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We'll have a few announcements, and then I'm going to turn my mic off so they can sing again. And put my glasses on so I can see again. Excellent. All right. So, thank you for leaving that off for another minute. So, thank you so much for being here with us. This is four times now I've got to participate in Lutheran Campus Ministry Service here at Christ Lutheran. And I can honestly say it's been a blessing each of those times. So it's wonderful to have you all here. Today is the last day of our book fair. There are still sign-up sheets back there. Each person who wants to order anything needs their own individual sheet. And they will be here in a couple weeks. All right. Also, Easter Lily forms are back there. As you leave, they're going to be on your left. If you want to sponsor a lily in memory of someone, in honor of someone, or just because you really like lilies and you want more of them in the church, then those forms are back there. We need to get that done in a week, okay, because we need to get them paid for and get them here on time. Also, First Communion class is coming up this coming Saturday, yeah? This coming Saturday in the afternoon. So if your young person is in fifth grade, or you've made other arrangements, if you would please be there at 1, 2, at 2. That's been a little flexible. All right, so it's not flexible anymore. It's in print. So 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And then also next week Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but a week later, so the week of Holy Week, for those families, we'll have a Seder remembrance. Not literally a Seder meal, but we'll go through some of the traditions of our brothers and sisters of the Jewish faith. We'll show you some things about what it is that Jesus and the disciples were likely doing Maundy Thursday evening when Jesus instituted Holy Communion for the first time. And then those same young people will receive communion for the very first time the following night, Maundy Thursday, here during worship at 7. The CLC Youth Coin War continues. That's out and to the right. The blood drive is coming up. That's the Tuesday of Holy Week, so it's just a little over a week away. It makes a difference. If you can come and donate blood, awesome. If you can't come and donate blood, but you can donate some goodies for the recovery table, or you can just come and sign people in. Whatever you can do to support that cause is greatly appreciated. Sign up is out and on the left. Also, Palm Sunday brunch. That's next Sunday. Okay? That means we need bodies to sign up for stuff. Because this is your last Sunday crack at those sign-up sheets. Out, and you know, really, if you want breakfast, it's not that hard. So, out and to the left. So that table has a lot of stuff on it, right? Blood mobile, the sign up for lilies, the sign up for Palm Sunday brunch, and just a little bit further is the book fair. There's stuff going on there. Yeah, I know. Oh dear, exactly. All right, let's see, what else? Well, everything else you can read on your own. None of it is all that time critical, but it's all important. If Jane puts it in there, it matters. Read it. All right. Thank you very much. Are there any other announcements I need to make this morning, Katie? Nope. All right. So please stand as you're able for our closing song.
all be seated. So we love this song at Praise Band, and so we want to share this with you as a sending out to be the hands of Jesus. And we've got a special guest with us on drums. Let's give him a hand for being here today. So this is called One Step Away.
Again, thanks very much for coming and leading worship and for preaching. I took notes, so now I know what I'm going to do tomorrow night. Mark with the cross of Christ, go forth to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please, thanks one more time to our LCM group for being here today. And please share a sign of Christ's peace with one another as you leave.